The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is hour number two, and we welcome you to the broadcast. We begin every hour with our impact segment, which is 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I thought this hour, at least for impact, we'd open the phone lines and let you pick your topic. Our version of an open phone Friday on Tuesday. We're going to take a look at the world in a moment. I've got news items. But if you have a particular topic or something you would like to share, we have wide open phones to you. 888-528-2557. We'll do this for impact only. Just what's on your mind? How are you? How's your faith? Do you have any faith? How are you faring through all of what we've seen over the last year plus in California? We have another man declare for his candidacy for governor. We talked about this last hour. Larry Elder has left his post as a talk radio host and is now running for governor. Is there an issue in the news that you're concerned about, something that you want to convey? Do you want to have a conversation with me about something in particular? 888-528-2557 are the numbers to call into the program. Some of the items in the news, Cuba is now calling for a crackdown on thousands of protesters that have taken it to the streets and have had enough with the new regime. This is an incredible story and one that I watch very carefully and with great concern. Maybe you would like to share your thoughts on what we are being told is going on in Cuba right now, even though there's a bit of a blackout going on. Texas Democrats are leaving the state to avoid voting on the bill to strengthen voter laws. Maybe you saw some of the photos from airplanes. People in positions of political authority with no masks on. Imagine that. Speaking of mask banning, California will ban students who refuse to wear masks. This is an LA Times article. They say that they shared the story on the recommendations of the CDC. Just bizarre, but understandable. Mask wearing. A new trend in cancel culture, diet shaming. On social media, it's now popular to bash dieting for being insensitive to those people that struggle with eating disorders. Now, I'm not one to say it's either or. I mean, I get it in both areas, but cancel culture is alive and well. Boy, my goodness. If it doesn't go with the way it's supposed to go, shaming is a new thing. I mentioned Larry Elder is going to run for governor or is running for governor in the recall. Governor Newsom, it's been reported, is not going to be listed as a Democrat in the recall vote. I'm not sure what that's about, but that's a story that many news outlets have reported. And in France, vive la France. No shopping, no restaurants, no travel for those that are unvaccinated. This is kind of weird to watch, kind of crazy to watch. By the way, speaking of getting vaccinated, the FDA is adding a new warning to the J&J shot that you may experience neurological disorder. Now, it's rare, but it is a possibility. So there you have it. 888-528-2557. A phenomena I've watched lately, I'm not sure what it is, but you've been less inclined to call and talk and more inclined to email me. I don't know if they go hand in hand. In truth, when I do Open Phone Friday, some Fridays the calls are non-existent. Some Fridays the calls just absolutely, we could do and take your calls for hours after the fact. So I get it. There's no rhyme, no reason, but I just want to share again, if you have something on your mind and you want to convey it, this would be a good time. I don't plan on doing Open Phone Tuesday all hour, but if there's an issue or something you want to convey, ask a question, state a concern. Maybe you want to talk about your faith. Maybe you want to share your testimony. Anything and everything. There's no one topic open for discussion. All you have to do, the only prerequisite is you do have to call 888-528-2557. You will talk to Suzette. She's the woman that will screen you before you get on the air with me. She does a tremendous job. Grateful to have her screening the calls today. Al in Gardena. Al, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Al, are you with us? Are you against us? Nothing there. Al, somehow if your cell dropped out, you're welcome to call back. Did you see the story out of London? A Christian mother is taking a London-based school to court for allegedly forcing her 4-year-old son to partake in a gay pride parade. According to Christian Today, Izzy Montague says she was told by the head teacher of Hevers Farm Primary School in Croydon, England, that her son could not back out of the pride event despite the family's Christian beliefs. Montague, who has since withdrawn her son from the school, is now taking the matter to court for direct and indirect discrimination, victimization, and breaches of statutory duties under the Education Act of 1996 and the Human Rights Act of 1998. She added that the school did not take her concerns seriously and actually became antagonistic towards her after she asked to withdraw her son. The mother asserted ahead of the hearing that she was not trying to stop the pride event, but just wanted her child to, quote, receive an education rather than an indoctrination, end quote. She also went on to say, I'm taking the stand to raise awareness amongst parents as to what is happening in our primary schools. I do not want our parents or other parents to go through what I have been through in the months and years ahead, end quote. This is out of London, England. The school system. Kind of crazy to think about what's going on, especially in public schools. It was a story that came out within the last 48 hours that the CDC is recommending. And I want to make sure and get this straight. There's complete contradiction. One entity is representing that mask wearing will be mandatory, and another entity is saying it's not. And somehow, this is constant in areas of medical guidance when it comes to protocol and the quote-unquote pandemic. We see this all the time. Fauci is now, let me take a deep breath when I mention that name. You see his latest, he's talking about the importance of mandatory vaccinations. Mandatory. Even if you've had COVID, Mandatory vaccination. I think anybody with a whip of intelligence can see there's more going on here than just somehow the government wants to protect the population from the big bad virus. 888-528-2557. Mark in Fountain Valley, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank Sontag. Yeah, good to be on the show. Listen, just trying to get a room for rent, and there's some crazy things out there with, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that if you're going to rent a room, all kinds of things, no living, no laughing, no guests. But now it seems like they want to now get into my bloodstream. I can't rent a room unless I prove to them that I've gotten the vaccine. And I hear you talking about this mandatory vaccine stuff. I'm against it. I thought it was against the law for me to ask anybody for their medical information. That's you know, private stuff.
I'm at a loss here. When you say rent a room, what does that mean?
Well, just out of someone's house, you know, you just
so all people that are renting rooms, they're all one entity. They all say the same thing. Help me understand your position.
No. I'm just saying that I'm running into a lot of that looking on different sites that they have rooms for rent, and you're looking through, okay, what is it? What kind of room? Is it on the first floor, the second floor? What are the amenities? And then at the end, they say, well, no guests, no overnight guests, no guests at all if they're really paranoid. You know, no smoking, of course, no drinking, no this, no that. And then, by the way, we need to see proof of your vaccination.
Yeah, well, again, I don't think that's the end all. Like, all entities that are renting rooms subscribe to the same thought, but you stating that there are some that are concerned or acting out of fear, and I this is where we're at. But I don't think you did this, but to just state somehow blatantly that anybody that wants to rent a room is going to be subject to the rigors of you have to prove mandatory vaccination. Obviously, we're not there. Hopefully not yet, at least. Ray in San Clemente, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi there. Good afternoon. So my question was a comment about the problem in Cuba. So I have an, I don't know how, but I have an internet girlfriend in Cuba. And then basically, 2 days ago, I made the mistake of sending a short video of the news about the process, people protesting in Cuba. And since then, I haven't had any answer from her. I don't know if the Cuban government is actually able to control their internet accounts or basically block that. I know that, of course, like, for example, we're talking about a couple of sport events. It would say, no, that is if they don't take out the electrical energy, if they don't cut the power, basically. So I guess they even do that. So I don't know if you guys know of anything of the Cuban government controlling the internet or controlling everything that their citizens can.
Well, I have nothing verified, but it would kind of make sense that a regime like what's been in Cuba for decades, that a lot of it is about control. It wouldn't surprise me in the least, but I'm not, again, I don't have any factual evidence that that's the case. Maybe somebody that does know more information can call the program, so I would say keep listening. And I do pray that your girlfriend is okay, but the situation in Cuba seems to be escalating. I think people have a taste now for liberty, and more people are calling for their God-given right to liberty, and yet we have a government and a regime that doesn't seem to want to give up a whole lot right now and wants to continue to control the masses. 888-528-2557. Wilbert, I know we're not due for a break, but I lost the sheet that you gave me. So if you could maybe provide that information for me again, I'd really appreciate it. That's all I need. Okay, thank you. All right, so we've got a few more moments. We have two open lines, 888-528-2557. We have Terry and then Sally from Los Angeles. Terry in, it says Washington. Are you calling from the state of Washington?
I am.
Thank you for calling, Terry. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I also read the article about the neurological issue. Well, it's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And I have firsthand experience of Guillain-Barré syndrome. My husband contracted it. It is severe. It's horrid. My husband went through a year of treatments just to get some of his abilities back. And each treatment, I mean, to be honest, was $44,000.
Oh, my God.
Each. He had to do it every 6 weeks for a year. This is not something to be messing around with. And the flu shot currently has a disclaimer on it that says that you could get Guillain-Barré if you take the current flu vaccine. So let me say, even one person that has contracted that from the J&J shot should be seriously concerned.
Terry, I thank you for the call, and I pray your husband is doing better. The news report says so far more than 100 reports of people that have contracted this neurological disorder from the J&J shot. And now the FDA is issuing a warning label to anybody that takes the vaccine, the J&J shot. I do not know where we're going with this. I do know that there is a lot of fear around it, and also fear being pushed by those in positions of authority. And we just pray against any fear at all. When this began, way back when, I had John Eldridge on the program. And he spoke on the air clearly about no fear, no agreements with fear. And I would emphasize that in this day and age, many months later. 888-528-2557. Sally is in Los Angeles. Sally, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. I want to touch on something that you talked about, more about yesterday, and that is what's going on with depression and suicide, especially within the young adult community. We have a family member who is college age, male, and it seems to be affecting them the most. Because of the lockdowns, and not only with the lockdowns, but with the lockdowns, he's been having just a lot of anxiety, thoughts of suicide, hopelessness. And on top of that, he did have, and I don't know if this is related, but he did have both of the shots from Moderna, the first shot, as well as the second, and he has been experiencing health issues that are debilitating. I don't know if it's related. He was perfectly healthy prior to that. So on top of the lockdowns causing the depression and the thoughts of suicide, now he's dealing with debilitating health issues. What they're doing to our young people is horrible. And now they're talking about giving it to six-month-old babies, and I've even heard newborns. This sounds just bizarre. I mean, if you have people who are having health issues, why would you want to give it to a newborn, six-month-old, and any young person? So what do we do? How do we help our young people who are experiencing these side effects of both the shots and the lockdowns that are causing such a high rate of suicide in our college age people, especially males, it seems? How can we help them? What can we do? I want to give them the hope of Christ. How do we do that?
Well, let me try to respond, and I apologize. The radio on in the background is a bit distracting. We're in delay. And thank you for persevering through that. What do we do? If I had a blanket answer, I would scream it from the rooftops. I have a men's ministry, and I'm concerned about the younger men that struggle with, similar to what you shared, this young man is struggling with. But I also think that it's each and every case is its own merit. And if you know someone, if it's a family member, a friend, we have to be willing to speak to them directly, even to the point of maybe they don't want to have any kind of relationship. Isolation is not the answer. And to get them help if they can, if they want to get help. But, I mean, I want to be careful here. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a clinical therapist. I don't have a degree in such things. I don't have a list a mile long of my my counseling qualifications, none of that. But I do know that when people do things, contemplate suicide, oftentimes we look and go, what did I miss? And so I would hope that we'll be extra vigilant about watching over our loved ones now and having conversations and being fully aware that this is a time by which there have been a lot of, there's been a lot of devastation, spiritually speaking, as well as the physical challenges and the ongoing battle of just trying to not get too far ahead of things. Right? And here's the truth. And we need to anchor in the truth. We will get through this. A sustained faith in God through Christ in the moment. Prayer is important. We will get through this. And to make decisions in panic or, I know a few people that are having struggles with panic just out of the blue. I think this is part of the reason why. And protect your mind, protect your heart. I would turn on that idiot box only if you know what you're turning on to watch. There is so much fear porn coming out of the television. I took my son to the movie theater last Saturday night, first time we've been out in a while. Six or seven trailers, they were evil, horrific, all of them. I'm like, what's happening to us? And I suspect I was probably one of just a few that reacted the way that I did. Most people been indoctrinated. We're in it. This is normal. We're so desensitized. But the only answer is Jesus. And I suspect you may want to listen to my announcement Monday at 3 because it kind of goes aligned with this. And I'll leave it at that. 888-528-2557. We will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. By the way, if you miss any portions of the program, you can always go to our website and download the podcast virtually at the end of the on-air segment. Go to kkla.com, find podcasts, find the show, download the program in its entirety. The Boy Scouts are, well, no longer. They have a new name. In a sense, they have a new mission. Boy Scouts have been around for more than 100 years. Some of you may have served in the Boy Scouts. There was a Christian alternative begun by Mark Hancock called Trail Life USA. And there's an article that I found today. I want to read some of it to you. It's thought-provoking. It may upset some of you, but I think there are some aspects of truth that need to be stated. You can find the entire article at the Christian Post website. It's written by, the byline is Leonardo Blair, And it is under the heading, Can a Generation of Boys Be Saved from Becoming Unproductive Narcissists? America is in danger of raising a generation of boys who are unproductive narcissists. And Trail Life USA CEO Mark Hancock says his organization is prepared to step in and neutralize the threat. For the last 8 years, since pulling his sons away from the embattled Boy Scouts of America, Hancock has been promoting his unapologetically Christian alternative to the iconic youth organization, which he argues has lost some 2 million members since 2013 because it abandoned its laser focus on boys. Hancock's message has been gaining traction among Christian households and churches worried about the threat of a mainstream culture that is becoming increasingly hostile to raising their sons as traditional men. Hancock, a trained mental health expert, father of two boys, recently said, "It's as if boyhood is some kind of social disease now that needs to be eradicated. We don't celebrate boys like we used to. We do not recognize their strengths, their impulsivity, and their risk and their attraction to competition as positive things anymore. And they used to be accepted. Those were strengths that were being tested in a boy that would serve him in manhood." The CEO of Trail Life also went on to say, "When you look at the history of the country, it's winning and focused men who took chances, who took risks, who made the difficult decisions, who sometimes made unpopular decisions that really led us to be one of the greatest countries in the world. And if we're not still instilling those same things in boys, letting them know that risk and competition are not bad words, letting them know that they can get outside and exercise their strength, their masculinity, in a godly way is not a bad thing, then I think it's not going to serve us well going forward as a society that's going to require that we have men do things like go to war, like stand up and defend our rights, stand up and defend the weak, to be strong, to have convictions, to be bold about certain things. And if we aren't instilling that in our boys, we're certainly not going to have it in our men," end quote. Trail Life USA was launched in 2014. Obviously, the Boy Scouts have made many changes since then, such as allowing openly gay scout leaders. It also expanded membership to including girls in 2019, which ironically led to a lawsuit from Girl Scouts of America suing the Scouts of America. Hancock went to say this in closing, "I believe families are scrambling in search of an organization that will help them make godly men from the stuff of boys, and we believe that Trail Life is the organization. That's why our numbers are exploding. We're seeing people that are responding to messages like boys and girls are different." Trail Life USA, Mark Hancock. 888-528-2557. You know, I've run this audio over the years, and I think it just goes hand in hand with what the CEO of Trail Life said, only from a young woman's perspective, about this idea of manhood and boys and the way culture says, no, this is not the way to be.
I'm going to say something that's considered really scandalous in this day and age, and that's we need strong men, not scared men, not weak men, not men who are ashamed of being men or men who are afraid of their strength. We need men who are proud of being men and everything that means. Strong men make for a strong society and nation. Weak men make for a weak society and nation. We need masculine men to thrive as a culture.
Her name is Allie Beth Stuckey, and here's more.
Now, There have been increasing complaints from feminists about boys and men being inherently unsafe. Male aggression produces an environment that's hostile to women and even contributes to what they call a rape culture. So to cure men of their maleness, they attempt to emasculate them. They call their masculinity toxic and constantly harp on all the ways men are detrimental to society. Manly men are standing in the way of women and our progress, which is why, they argue, boys can be very dangerous. Well, I have some big news for you, feminists. It is okay for boys to be dangerous. Yeah, I said it. They're not supposed to be safe. They're not supposed to be predictable and containable. It's okay if they're aggressive. Boys are supposed to grow up to be men who are willing to fight, defend, and protect. That's something to be celebrated, not taken away.
One more from Allie Stuckey. And by the way, if you're a woman listening to this, I'd be blessed to hear your thoughts on maybe the way you've raised your sons. It is now considered normal to have a father lacking in the home, so moms are moms and try to be dads. But what do you think about what Allie Stuckey is sharing?
And before you send me hate mail, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that all boys have to be the same. I'm not saying that girls aren't allowed to be aggressive or strong. I'm not saying that men's inherent nature is an excuse for bad behavior. But what I am saying is that we should stop man-shaming our boys into being wusses and encourage them to be the strong, kind, compassionate, brave, and yes, dangerous men that they're made to be. So stop, you crazy man-haters. We need men. Without strong men, society fails. And if society fails, then women fail too. Is that really what you're fighting for, feminists? I didn't think so. My name is Allie, and this is the Millennial Moment.
Allie Stuckey. She posted that video a few years ago, and I run it every so often. And I think it speaks to, well, partly what the CEO of Trail Life was talking about, just how young boys are being emasculated. I see it in my men's ministry. It's like somehow when I play, and granted, this is a Hollywood fictional character, but this guy, if he was real, what would society say about his demeanor today?
Are you finished, Mr. Slade?
No, I'm just getting warmed up. I don't know who went to this place. William Howard Taft, William Jennings Bryan, William Tell, whoever. Their spirit is dead, if they ever had one. It's gone. You're building a rat ship here. A vessel for seagoing snitches. And if you think you're preparing these minnows for manhood, you better think again. Because I say you are killing the very spirit this institution proclaims it instills. What a sham. What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today? I mean, the only class in this act is sitting next to me, and I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact. It's non-negotiable. You know how I know? Someone here, and I'm not going to say who, offered to buy it. Only Charlie here wasn't selling.
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order. You don't know what out of order is, Mr. Trask. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too f***ing blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place. Out of order. Who the hell do you think you're talking to? I've been around, you know. There was a time I could see, and I have seen. Boys like these, younger than these, their arms torn out, their legs ripped off. But there is nothing like the sight of an amputated spirit. There is no prosthetic for that.
Audio from the movie Son of a Woman. And then I'd have to play this audio clip in juxtaposition of that view of manhood. This is actually our current governor of California and his views on manhood.
You were talking about something interesting. And you're talking about sort of toxic masculinity.
Yep.
And you said, that the most dangerous words in the English language are man up, be a man, and don't be a sissy.
Yeah.
Like, really? Those are the most dangerous words
in the English language? Yeah, I think a lot of things can be explained in that respect. What was the most interesting part of this election, 2016, was the number of white men of working age that aren't working any longer.
I think, like, most people would say, like it's just an expression, like man up, right? Like toughen up.
Well, man up. That sort of reinforces the frame, and so that's
right. But you're saying like that's super dangerous.
I think it's a weak. That's a weak thing to say. It's weak.
It's weak. It's weak to say man up. It's weak. Dangerous words. Man up. Be a man. Such are the times that we live. If you have any thoughts, we have two lines open, 888-528-2557, 888-528-2557. Email address, if you'd like, you can send me a confidential email at franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. By the way, we have some people that have called back that have follow-up questions to maybe an on-air conversation. Unfortunately, we can't let you back on the same day. That's a precedent we can't set. So my suggestion is if you did get on air and you still have questions, email me at franksontag@kkla.com. That being said, some people take objection to the way I may handle callers. So I get this email from listener Della. I think the reason people don't call in is because you're cut off abruptly. We don't get our point out completely, and you don't let us follow up on your comments. I know you have time restraints, but the fact you're not getting calls leaves more time for those who want to say something. Della, thank you. It doesn't work that way. Everybody that gets on the air only has a few moments. That's the protocol. And I try to give everybody a fair share and a fair shake and let them state what they're going to say. I do thank you for your email. By the way, I started the program out today talking about Larry Elder declaring his candidacy for governor of California. I think it's a bold move, and I believe that he's doing this because he cares about California. It's the right thing to do. He's leaving his national talk program and all the things he holds close and familiar and he's good at to try to do something good for the state. Sometimes we make decisions in our lives that we actually avoid making because we know they'd be life-changing. But sometimes we make decisions that are very difficult and we may pay the price in a matter of speaking, but our conscience and our integrity, above all, are most important. Jordan Peterson is that man who many years ago in Canada was tried to be forced to speak a certain way by the government. He said no.
You made your decision 2016 not to say what the government of Canada was prepared to force you to say. You decided, I can't do that. It violates my conscience. My soul's at stake. I'm not doing it. Looking back on that decision 5 years later, your life is completely different from what it was. Are you happy that you made that decision? Was it worth it?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm happy that I made the decision. I wouldn't say that my life has been particularly happy over the last 5 years. It's been stressful beyond comprehension. For a variety of reasons, but I would say being pilloried on a regular basis publicly is definitely part of that. But you know, you make your decisions in life, and I decided when I was very young, I'm in my mid-20s, that I was going to say what I believed and see what happened. I talked to you earlier in the talk about adventure, you know, about the adventure of truth, and I don't think I'm happy about what has happened, and I certainly have dragged my family through their fair share of, well, both hell and also incomprehensible opportunity. It's expanded our lives in both directions to a tremendous degree, but it's certainly been an adventure. It's not been dull, and I don't believe that it was a mistake. Whatever happens as a consequence of telling the truth is the best thing that can happen. It doesn't really matter how it looks to you at the moment, or maybe even across the years, because you have to. It's an article of faith in some sense. Do you believe that reality is better constituted as a consequence of truth or falsity? If you believe that reality is best constituted as a consequence of truth, then you have a responsibility to speak the truth, and you can't assess the consequences and say, well, that was a mistake, because part of the decision that reality is best constituted as a consequence of the truth is the decision that no matter what happens is the best if it's a consequence of telling the truth. And so that's what I conclude. It's like, this is what happened because I said what I had to say as clearly as I could say it. And that's as good as it could be. Now, whether or not that's good, well, it's good compared to all possible alternatives, all possible realistic alternatives. That's an article of faith, as far as I'm concerned. You know, our culture is predicated on the idea that truth in speech is of divine significance. It's the fundamental presupposition of our culture. Well, if you believe that, then you act it out, and you take the consequences. You're going to take the consequences one way or another, you know. So, you want the truth on your side? Or do you want to hide behind falsehoods?
Jordan Peterson, speaking about a decision he made many years ago. Speaking the truth, and whatever is to come will come. I was reading a sermon the other day. Pastor said we're supposed to be in conflict with the things of this world. Not everything is good and glorifying to God. And if we sit back and pretend that they are, that's on us. And I say, that pastor speaks the truth. Friday on the program at 3 o'clock, my dear friend Bob Tyler from Advocates for Faith and Freedom will be on the program. Bob is a lawyer. We're going to talk about some struggles here in California and some of the amazing things that advocates have done. And then 4 o'clock, one of my best friends, Kevin Malone, has a movie out talking about the testimony of his son, Sean. Sean was brought back to health after doctors declared him gone. 20-minute testimony, if you will. The movie is called The Sean Miracle, all about the life of Sean Malone. And my dear friend Kevin will be on the program Friday at 4 o'clock. Between now and then, we'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. And I will say again, probably for the last time, Monday at 3 o'clock, I have a huge announcement that we will share on air, and we'll Facebook Live it and all the other outlets that we can access Monday at 3 o'clock Pacific. You may want to listen to this program. In the interim, if you have any thoughts, and again, I read all my emails, you are welcome to email me at franksontag@kkla.com. And for those that call the program and had follow-up questions, I couldn't take your call back on the air. If you'd like to email me as well, I'll do my best to respond and answer your questions as well. franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.